Magenta Media. Das Medienmagazin. Mit Wolf Harrand.
Hi there, I'm Wolf Harrand, Oscar Echo One Whiskey Hotel Charlie, host to Radio Austria International's weekly communications magazine Intermedia in our German service. Edition number 275 deals with amateur radio in North Korea, and here is a summary of our future along with the unabridged items in English. Back in the early 1990s, Romeo Stepanenko, UB5RR, activated rarely ecstasy countries like Afghanistan, Myanmar, and the Spratlys, but he topped all that when he emerged in December 1992 from North Korea. It was rumored he was a KGB agent. How else could he achieve such spectacular results? Anyway, he became the darling boy of hamdom and starred at each and every hamvention around the globe. However, his fame quickly faded when serious doubts arose about the validity of at least his Papa Five operation. We quote from an ARRL press release issued on 29th August 1994.
In response to the continued questions concerning the P5-RS7 operation of December 1992, January 1993, the following is provided. While reviewing the original documentation and photographs, DXCC staff noted some apparent discrepancies. DXCC staff then requested some additional information. After more than 1 year, additional information was received. During that year, the ongoing investigation into the paperwork and photographs suggested that the operation may have taken place from another location. Documentation in support of P5-RS7 accreditation did not establish that operating permission has been granted by appropriate authorities, nor did it establish that the operation took place from the territory of North Korea. After reviewing all available information, there will be no DXCC credit of the P5-RS7 operation, and the file has been closed. This determination is based upon Section 1, 7, and 12 of the DXCC rules.
And the final verdict was even more devastating for Romeo.
The ARRL Awards Committee met recently to review submitted documentation for the 1992-93 P5-RS7 operation submitted by Romeo Stepanenko. After a review of all material available, the Awards Committee voted unanimously to disqualify Romeo Stepanenko from participation in the DXCC program. This disqualification is based upon Rule 12, Operations Ethics, and Rule 13. The disqualification means that Stepanenko is not eligible to participate in the DXCC program in any manner. This includes, as provided under Rule 12, Paragraph B, disallowance of contacts made with any station or de-expedition operated by him from the time of this action.
The first official operation, by permission of the authorities, took place on 4th May 1995. Martin Leine, Oscar Hotel 2 Bravo Hotel, together with Kari Leine and Olli Rissanen, presented and demonstrated amateur radio in the Raging Sambong Economic and Trade Zone. Papa 5 stroke Oscar Hotel 2 Alpha Mike, just a handful of contacts in SSB on 20 and 40 meters, and it took another 4 years until a second demonstration of this kind was allowed. This time, Marty, operating Papa 5 1 Bravo Hotel, worked 263 stations on the 21st May 1999 on 20 meters in SSB and CW and on 15 meters in SSB. Marty and his loyal friends tried their level best to put Papa 5 on the air again, and at a larger scale. It simply didn't work out, mainly due to the political development in that region and between the former superpowers. So it took everybody by surprise when, all of a sudden, Adige Ed, Giordazzi 4 Lima 4 Fox November appeared on the bands on 11th November 2001, operating from Papa 5. One of his very first QSOs, or rather test transmissions, was held with Bruce Page, Kilo Kilo 5 Delta Oscar, Ed's QSL manager. Just listen how poor his signal was at that time.
Yeah, Kilo Kilo 5 Delta Oscar KK 5 DO 5 by 4, 5 by 4, 54, over, over, over. QSL to 5 by 4.
And here is Ed himself talking to us from Pyongyang. My first question was about his personal background.
On 30 of August, I will become 45.
Do you have a family?
Of course. I do have a family, one wife and one daughter. In September, she will become 14 years old.
But they're not staying with you?
No.
Isn't it difficult to have a family back home and not meeting them for such a long time?
Yes, of course it's difficult. Yes, it's very difficult. But what to do? My wife, she's a doctor. She got a job in a city hospital. Daughter is in a school, in a music school, secondary school, friends, and et cetera, et cetera. So, yes, of course, it's for me, it's quite difficult to be alone here, but we have to sacrifice, you know, something in our life.
We were not aware of you until you came on the air from Papa Five. So perhaps, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where do you come from, and what is your ham radio career?
Well, I am a UN employee. I'm working for United Nations World Food Program, now starting from 1993. And for a long time, I was traveling, you know, from country to country, and finally showed up in North Korea as a UN employee. So I came here, it was December 98, and to tell you the truth, in the beginning, you know, it was a new country for me, a little bit, you know, not the ordinary country, and I was even not thinking about the ham radio whatsoever. But later on, when I get used to all, bit by bit started to think about the radio, you know, old, old-fashioned, nice hobby. And then I discovered that there is no way to have this kind of pleasure here because of restrictions and et cetera, et cetera. So, I started to, as a normal procedure, asking permission. I filled several applications, but the answer in general was negative, because. Let's say so.
So you had been a ham operator before?
I was. I have a call sign starting from 1971. My previous call sign was United Florida 6, Florida November Sugar. But to tell you the truth, not a big practice on the air because, I mean, a big time on the air, time to time, because it was quite difficult time in former Soviet Union. Well, I mean, difficult time in the sense of equipment. All equipment was in general 99% self-made, and not everyone could do that. So because of this and the different type of problems, not much time on air, but anyway, I was doing some job on air.
Did you operate from some of the countries where you had been before for the United Nations?
No, didn't have a chance. I was traveling, it was short assignments, so it's not much time to be settled.
So it was the Democratic Republic of Korea where you first thought of taking up your hobby again?
Yes, that's correct.
And you said you had no luck. Were you aware at that time that other people before you had tried in vain to get a license?
Yes, of course I was aware. Actually, there was no way to get it. But I was still trying to do my best, you know, this way, this way. Maybe times are changing, people are changing, so it was just matter of luck, matter of try, that's it.
So how was it at that decisive moment when somebody told you, it's okay, go ahead? How was that?
it's difficult to say. It's a very emotional moment, of course. It's very emotional because ham like me, not with a big, with a serious experience being on air, and plus, on top of all, from such a country, such a rare country like a P5, and whoops on the air. You know, it's really some kind of very strong emotional experience.
Did you have any ham equipment with you in Pyongyang?
Yes, because things were going that after several tries and asking for permission of or whatsoever it is, then my question was and my request was just simply to bring the equipment into the country and just to show that there is nothing harmful, nothing, let's call it, criminal, and that's it. So I was told that, okay, that's no problem, you can do it, but no transmission. So we agreed on it, and that was the story. I brought into the country my ICOM 706, and that's it.
And you started to listen?
Yes, of course. First step was listen. That's also an emotional moment, you know, from one point of view, you can listen but not transmit. You have to hold yourself in your hands. Somehow you have to manage, and I did.
Then you approached the authorities again, and somebody told you, okay, from now on you are allowed to transmit? Any restrictions?
Well, it took a while again after I brought the equipment into the country. It took again a little while. Yeah, and actually that was a story. And again, my questions about the official request about, written permission, it was just ignored. And one person even told me that there are lots of signs on a road, don't cross the road, but people are crossing. So, no, of course, it doesn't mean that it was permitted, but yeah, it was just a verbal permission. That's it.
So, and you switched on the transceiver and you simply started to say, CQ?
No, not exactly like that. Because in the beginning, when I brought the equipment into the country, I with Bruce, my QSL manager, KK5DO, I had email conversations before. And finally, when I was permitted to transmit, we had the agreement with Bruce to meet on the air, and it didn't work. We were just trying to establish one connection, at least one connection, and to be sure that everything works, because at that moment I had my self-made dipole antenna, so we were not quite sure, you know. And the first was K6 Sugar Alpha Radio, as far as I remember. That was the first person with whom I met on air, and
he must have had a heart attack.
No, he didn't know that. He knew that I was in from Papa Five. I just present myself as just 404FN. That's it. He didn't know that it was a P5. He learned about a little bit later.
Bruce helped a lot, but I understand that Bernie and Marty Chu, they helped with the linear they brought to Beijing.
Yes, that's correct. I can tell you a little bit more about Marty and Bernie. That's not only this, you know, let's call it material help as a linear amplifier. I had a big support as a ham without big experience on air. I had a big support, real support, with advice and etc. from Marty and Bernie, and I really appreciate their help in this case. And of course, plus on top of it, finally they got me a linear AL80, and which really works, you know, nice and does its job. I'm really grateful for that.
Any additional plans to set up more antenna or things like that?
One of the latest inventions, hex beam antenna for 15 and 10 meters. Yes, there are some plans to improve even existing butternut with additional bands, 6 meter, 12 and 17 meter band adapters. They are also on the way. And hex beam, it's also coming.
You're not there on an expedition. You're doing your job there, and it must be a very difficult and demanding job. So you just have your spare time. Do you still want people to contact you just once on one band? I mean, the pileup must be tremendous.
The problem is that, yes, I do understand that lots of people really want to have a P5 on different bands, different modes. But if we take in account that I'm alone here, real alone, and quite busy. And as you say, you know, I'm doing this job in my spare time, which I really, to tell you the truth, I don't have much. I can't be on the air as much as I want, unfortunately. I can't do that. So it means to satisfy all needs. Unfortunately, this is the way so far things are happening, but still I have to go one more year here. My contract is up to June, July of 2003, so we still have 1 year to go. Just only one small sample how people were desperate to have a P5, Papa Alpha 8, Alpha Alpha. As far as I remember, I might be mistaken. This is an old man who couldn't put his amplifier in his flat because of TVI, and he left his house and went to the field, put up the antenna in a field somewhere, and he traveled around 80 kilometers or 100 kilometers from his own house. Can you imagine just the pleasure for that person and then for me to understand what is happening, how people were, okay, let's call it desperate, and he did it.
Are you satisfied with the behavior of the amateurs, or do you have a lot to complain?
I guess each of us has at least something to complain. It's a little bit difficult to work Europe. My compliments to northern part of the Europe, which is, for instance, UK, Ireland, Scotland, British Island. It's always big pleasure to work with these guys because they are always listening. And in our, okay, let's say profession or hobby, it's most important to know how to listen. And another my complaint, okay, let's call it as a complaint, it's a JAs, which are very close to me. Each of them can cover whole band with one push of PTT, you know, and I can't hear any other. So time to time I have to ask them to stand by. Unfortunately, this is the way. If I want to work the rest of the world, someone has to sacrifice, you know, their time.
No problem with the Echo Alphas and Italians and so on, Southern Europeans?
No. Actually, no. Actually, I don't have much to complain.
They will really love you for saying that they usually are the scapegoats. Ed, do you think that there might be another Papa 5 in the near future?
I don't really know, and I will not, you know, speculate on this subject because, as I mentioned already, I arrived here in 98, December 98, and now it's, and finally I've got on air, it was November of 2001, right? So it means it took 3 years. To tell you the truth, you know, quite frequent reminders, asking, etc., etc., etc. So I don't think if the person comes for a week or two here, he will get a permission, unfortunately. Of course, unfortunately.
And one of your colleagues from the United Nations?
Again, unfortunately, I'm only him here from United Nations.
Unfortunately, fortunately. And I would like... And I would like to round up our talk and inviting you to tell us a little bit more about the work you are doing for the United Nations, about the situation in the Democratic Republic of Korea, about the people there.
The mission, which is carried here by United Nations World Food Program, it's a very important mission for this country, for DPRK, for North Korea, because several years it was a big of floods, then droughts and floods and again. And so the country economy went real down and people were, and still there is some problems with food. In general, it's food items, lack of food items. So the WFP carries a real important mission here, supplying country in general, of course, with the food items, but plus on top of it, some equipment for factories. I mean, it's a real pure civil factories, like, again, biscuit factory, noodle factory, bringing into the country equipment, spare parts, and etc., etc. So it's quite sensitive help for a country. And I would like to underline that all our efforts to help the country are met by local government, local representatives and our counterpart, which is FDRC, Flood Disaster Relief Committee, and we are having real help from them.
Let me finally thank you, first of all, for the job you're doing there in that country to help people in need. I think this is even more important than amateur radio, but also on behalf of the Global Amateur Radio, how shall I say, brotherhood, fraternity, I wish to thank you for the wonderful job you are doing, and we wish you the very best of luck.
Thank you very much, and let me say also a couple of words. Of course, for me, it's a kind of new experience, not kind of, it's really new experience to be in the center of such a big attention. It's really something, and I would like to wish to each of our brotherhood to have such an experience. Maybe that's not possible, of course, but at least I would like to wish them.
Ed, thanks a lot. Have a nice day. Good night.
Thank you. Good night. 73.
Ed Gürdalte. ARRL took some time to consider whether or not to accept this operation for the DXCC. They did so earlier this year and for every valid contact since Ed started to operate. Here is Wayne Mills, November 7, November Golf, ARRL Membership Services Manager, explaining the decision.
What is amateur radio, really? To me, it's somebody sitting in front of a radio and talking to somebody someplace else in the world or maybe just across town. Do we really need a license to do that? Well, in most countries you do, but from the DXCC point of view now, there's two things that are really important. We would like to know that that person is where he says he is, because after all, that's what the award is based on. That is the most important thing. We need to have some sort of evidence. The second thing is we don't want to encourage any activity that would cause any government to look unfavorably on amateur radio. So in deciding whether to accept an operation for DXCC credit, number one, we want evidence that you are actually where you're supposed to be for our purposes. Number two, we want evidence, and in both of these cases, what we're talking about is tangible evidence, something you can put your hand on, that a particular operation is not illegal or unpermitted. The concept of a license is almost universal. The concept of a piece of paper that has a heading on it that says amateur radio license, it has a call sign written on it, it has a expiration date, frequencies that you can use, all of this stuff is almost universal. But it's not universal. There are a number of countries in the world where you can't get a piece of paper like that. Well, the first question is, can you operate amateur radio if there were no government? I believe you can. Maybe at one point Somalia was an interesting example of that. But that's not too common. Most geographic areas in the world have some form of government. The next question is then, how do they treat amateur radio? Well, in many places, they don't really treat amateur radio at all. So that's a difficulty for us. What we're interested in, however, is whether or not they would allow such operation to occur and whether or not they feel that it's in accordance with their laws or their customs or whatever. In the case of Mr. Ed in North Korea, we have seen sufficient tangible evidence from a number of different sources and of a number of different types that his operation is permitted by the North Korean telecommunications officials. I thought I'd like to just toss that out since Wolf is here. He can broadcast it now as a policy and we can tell people what our position is. I think it's quite reasonable. I think the League does not want to be telling foreign governments how they should or even suggesting how they should govern their licensing. And not only that, but we don't want to encourage people to become nuisances with foreign governments continually asking them for permission to operate. We've not changed the policy. We still require sufficient evidence. And what's sufficient? Well, it's handled on a case-by-case basis. One of the things that we know about North Korea is that if you go there with equipment they know you have equipment, they see it when you come in, and you intend to put it on the air, and they don't agree with that, they will come, knock on your door, ask you to put it in the box, they'll seal it and send you out of the country. It's happened twice now in the last year. That's very helpful for us. That's an element of information about North Korea. The North Korean telecommunications officials know exactly what Ed is doing. They have inspected him now a total of 4 times at least. At his point of operation, they know precisely what he's doing.
Wayne Mills, November 7, November Gulf. And this rounds up our English summary on amateur radio in North Korea. I'm Wolf Harant, Oscar Echo 1, Whiskey Hotel Charlie. Produktion Marianne Feld. Aus dem Studio verabschiedet sich Wolf Harant, Oscar Echo 1, Whiskey Hotel Charlie.